This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. Hello, and I'd like to welcome everyone in to this episode of Fairways and Greens. This is your host, the Vegas Golf Coach, Gaylord Rhodes, and I'm here today to kind of share some, or maybe possibly even answer some of the questions I get from some of my students and kind of share some insight into to how I coach and some of the things I think are important for students to pay attention to during their lesson. And, you know, a lot of times my students will ask me, well, you know, is there anything that anything I could read, or are they're questioning training aids, which I actually introduced them to several training aids that I believe have value. And, you know, I think that too often the students come in and they've been bombarded by over information, too much technical, mechanical ideas and concepts. And so obviously, as I've mentioned before, I ask them, well, what is it that you're thinking about in your golf swing? And based on those answers, it gives me some insight into, you know, how maybe I can approach them and maybe clear their mind in many cases and kind of free them up to move in balance. And as I've mentioned before, I think balance is a key fundamental. And when I work with beginners, I mean, the very first thing we focus in is obviously going to be on putting a plan together for them, first of all. But yet to get them, obviously, the setup, grip, and getting into an athletic posture, an athletic setup position. And those things take time. I mean, I know that, I mean, when I was learning this game, that it was getting, you know, standing up over a golf ball with a golf club was very awkward in the beginning. And it takes time to develop a routine or a comfortable, let's say, athletic setup position that allows you or allows the student to move and create a balanced motion. And I think way too often the finish position is overlooked in golf. And just to enable them to get a good grip and to begin to swing and move and actually allow the body to flow and swing the arms into a balanced standing up finish position is so important. I mean, if you watch any of the great golfers, obviously they have great footwork, but they always finish in balance facing the target. And I think that's a very overlooked concept in teaching. And so I basically give my students homework, and the goal is to get them to swing at home without a golf ball and to try to create a balanced swinging motion. Most often than not, the students come with a misconception of how to actually use the golf club. They think, or their concept is, I want to hit the ball. I want to hit the bottom of the ball to get it airborne. And so the target becomes the golf ball. And they tend to get too preoccupied with trying to hit the golf ball rather than swing the golf club in balance. And that's a key fundamental. And so, you know, that's one of the first things. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I get students that come in that have been playing this game 3 or 4 years, and they're basically self-taught. And they've reached a certain level of competency. But they're really not swinging the golf club. They are making a motion that they have figured out how to hit the golf ball. It's a frustrating process for them because it's very inconsistent. And, you know, you've got the guys that go out and pound golf balls thinking that that's the way to get better. And what they do basically, if you give them a good athlete with good hand-eye coordination 30 minutes on the driving range, he's going to figure out some way to start making pretty decent contact with the ball. The problem is when he walks away from the range and maybe goes out the next day to play, all the timing of the compensations he was creating to hit the golf ball are gone. And so here this creates the inconsistency and the frustration. So, you know, again, the first thing that you really want to do as a student is you want to evaluate where you are at this particular time. If you're a total beginner, you know, I would approach you differently. But if you've been playing the game for a while, what we try to determine is what is the one or two things that are causing or misunderstandings that are causing some of your problems, and to give them a model to work on. And, you know, I've was fortunate enough to work with Chuck Hogan, and I've studied all of Michael Hebron stuff on learning golf, and I'm going to share some books with you and some things I think that you could, that if you, you know, are passionate about the game and want to read and gather some own information, because it is your journey. It's your discovery of golf and the golf swing. And the game is so much different than the golf swing. And I'll discuss those things. But setup is fundamental. And just to go and take a beginner or even a more advanced golfer and teach them how to create a proper setup position and teach them how to actually take that concept and put it in play on the golf course, where they have a pre-shot routine or procedure that allows them to get into a setup position that allows them to make an athletic move. And believe me, the golf swing is very athletic. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the key fundamentals to it. So the first thing we do is we try to develop their model swing and work on it. Mastery of the finished position will probably make and generate the best golf swing that any student can make. So, you know, I tend to kind of steer them toward that. I mean, and it's interesting and fascinating to see different levels of golfers come in and just observe their footwork and their motion and just to ask them, well, if you want to get this ball in the air, do you hit the bottom, middle, or top? And their misconceptions about how to actually do that create issues in the golf swing. So in an attempt to swing up, they're going to release too early. They're going to hang back, fall back. And then there's always the big deal about equipment. And most beginners think they really don't need fit equipment when they're learning. And that is so far from the truth, because, you know, the truth is, you know, feedback is fundamental in learning, and particularly in golf, as you know, wonder, well, why did I hit it right or left? And if the equipment actually influences the ball in certain directions, which it most definitely does, then you could actually make a good balanced motion and not get rewarded and think that it was a bad swing. And so therefore, you begin to compensate for the equipment, and it creates a long-term learning process. And it's so interesting to watch what happens. So with my beginners, I literally will check their equipment. If I don't believe it's suited for them, I will go into my fitting system, the HG fitting cart, and I will build them a golf club with length, loft, and a shaft flex that will reward their balanced motion. And so we will work with that golf club until they can really understand the motion that their model, the best motion that they can create at the time. And it's always going to be emphasized on mastery of the finished position. Can you get to a balanced finished position? And to evaluate it, to have them swing. And then when you introduce the ball, it's always, well, how was your finish? You know, on a scale of 1 to 5, did you get to your finished position? There's way too much emphasis on mechanics. There's way too much emphasis on what's going wrong in the golf swing. And by getting a clear picture of the motion is a very big key. So to develop a model, to understand the circular part of the golf swing, to understand the balance and the weight transfer and the finish position, those are just key simple concepts that can take and unlock and create freedom of motion in a golf swing rather than a flat-footed chopping motion. We want to develop a free-flowing motion that allows them to achieve their best balance position. You know, it was interesting. Years ago, I was working with Chuck Hogan. Chuck's got a very simple concept of the swing. It's around and around again and a swish in the middle, and you stand up at the end in balance. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's a very simple process to teach that balance. And typically I have to take the ball out of the way in the beginning because the ball interferes with the concept of a complete motion. A lot of beginners and a lot of amateurs in particular, basically their swing is to the ball and not to the finished position. And so I think that's really the key element that most all golfers could benefit from. And I know when I'm playing well, I'm finishing in balance. And when I hit offline shots, I'm typically not achieving my balanced finished position. And so if you have another key to this is to understand if you are trying to create a balanced finish position and you are doing that and the club's not rewarding that, then there's a key signal to you that, hey, maybe this golf club isn't right for me. And so I think to give all students a properly fit equipment, even if it's just one club that we know will reward them, they will learn on their own. And it's their golf swing. There is no model. There's basic things that we apply, and I try to create an image in their mind's eye of what the golf swing looks like, and I try to reinforce that image so that they can feel it. A lot of times I have them swing with their eyes closed and evaluate their motion, and most of the time they fall over because they're utilizing their arms and hands and to move the body, and I truly believe that the rotation of the body that can create a swinging motion in the arms, and I define the arms as the elbow down, is the proper model to kind of build your swing around. And there's all different ways you can feel it. Some people feel it from the ground up. Some people feel it in the hips. I work with a lot of women, and it's very easy for women to kind of understand hip movement. And so I may have them, you know, turn their hips to the target. Turn their belt buckle to the target because their center of gravity tends to be lower than men. Men, a lot of our weight is up above the waist, so we have a higher center of gravity. And so, you know, potentially with men, I typically will work with shoulder rotation, rotating the spine into the right foot or the right pivot point, and then releasing and turning the spine and standing up straight onto the left foot. And so it's more of an upper body motion, a shoulder guided motion where. And that's just, you know, a basic concept, but for the most part, it tends to work for me. I've discovered that women can really relate more to the lower body and the hips, whereas guys relate more to shoulder rotation and spine rotation. And the key is to get them to create a model as soon as possible that gives them a core basis of their motion. And again, I think that the mastery of the finished position is gonna probably generate their best motion, and so that's what I give them to do. And you know, there's this theory out there. The habitual theory is that it takes 21 days to change a motion, and true from a habitual standpoint, that's correct. So obviously, I believe that if you wanna change a motion and change a habit, that's one way to do it. But there's other ways. There's visualization. There's all kinds of enhancements that you can create to speed the process up. But really, just to take someone and they come in and I say, well, look, what kind of commitment level do you have to this golf swing? Are you just here to kind of feel it out, or do you really want to take this to the next level? And you know, for the most part, they're going to tell you, well, no, I really want to get better. And I say, well, are you willing to do the work? And so you have to create a plan that and let them understand that if they stretch this work and they don't pick up a golf club every day and work on their balanced finish position, and it's easy to do. You get it home in the backyard. I like to do it barefooted. I like to do it with shoes on. I like to close my eyes. So every day, irregardless, and I'm a golf pro, so I have access to the range and hitting balls every day if I have the time. But you know, as a result of life, I don't really have the time. But I promise you, I once heard a quote from Hogan said that a day that you don't swing a golf club is a day you've wasted. And I've kind of applied that to my concept of golf, and I know how fickle the game is, and how if I don't pick up a golf club for several days, you know, I'm searching for my balance again. So I literally have a golf club at home and I pick it up every day, even if it's just 20, 30 swings throughout the day. And it doesn't have to be all at one time. I just swing the golf club. So for all you out there that are really aspiring to get better, pick up your golf club every day. Swing it. I know that many of you do, but the truth is that I'm a big believer in doing drills, and I will pick out several drills for my students, one or two, that will give them and reinforce the model that we've developed for them. And so, you know, I could go through a variety of them, but this is, you know, this is in an audio show. It's really not very, you know, easy to do that. So I'm just saying that when you find an instructor that you want to work at, have him develop a model. You need to understand what you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't have a concept of what it is that you need to work on, then you're just hunting and pecking. And, you know, and so eventually you're going to seek out help. And at that point, it's important that you have your instructor create an understanding. And, you know, I always make it realistic to them, because you have to understand, you're going to struggle in this game. And you're going to struggle as you try to develop a new golf swing. And at every level, I mean, even at the professional level, I mean, one day a guy goes out and shoots 62, the next day he shoots 74. That's a 12-shot swing. And he didn't lose his swing overnight. He just lost his balance potentially, or just lost the feel of what he's trying to do. And so, you know, and these guys, they've got golf clubs in their hands 7 days a week for the most part. And yet they struggle. So just keep in mind, don't beat yourself up. Okay, so I have, developed some concepts that I believe are important. And I'm going to share them with you. And some of these I gleaned from Chuck Hogan. There's some great books out there. If, you know, I think Michael Hebron, Chuck Hogan, I think Percy Boomer's book on learning golf. Some of these are incredible books on just of just how to apply learning techniques to golf. And it's you know, it's a different game, and understanding. Michael Hebron's taken it on and has studied how the brain functions, and he's got some great books out there, and I'll share those with you. The first sports psychologist I ever worked with was Chuck Hogan, and he, by the way, his book, 5 Days to Golfing Excellence, for anyone out there, 5 Days to Golfing Excellence by Chuck Hogan. If you want to play better golf and you play golf, get that book, because it will put your focus on the game and off of your mechanics. The first book I ever read from Chuck, and I actually got a chance to spend several, three or four different days with him off and on in my career, where we would sit and just maybe even having breakfast and just talk about different things and learning. And one of the things Chuck always emphasized was, you know, to create contracts, to have your student sign a contract mentally or verbally that gives them accountability to some degree. And, you know, I just think that there's too much randomness a lot of times. And so, you know, the things that I like to emphasize, particularly with my beginners, is to look, it's a game. Have fun, okay? And don't beat yourself up. Be nice to yourself. And these are things Chuck emphasized in his classes that I took and the time I spent with him during a very, very interesting time when he was had just developed a video called Aim to Win. And I got a chance to work on some concepts of putter and aiming and how badly students aim. And it's always important, and I'll emphasize this again, that you need to have a target when you're on the driving range. Because if you're not targeting and you're just hitting balls randomly out into the range, guess what's going to happen when you go on the golf course and you're staring down a fairway that's 40 yards wide with trees and houses on both sides? It's not conducive to good performance. So you need to be targeting. If I'm hitting drivers on the range, I'm hitting it. I've got an area that represents the fairway, and I'm working on getting that ball in the fairway on every swing. And so I'm basically targeting, and that's so important in the game. And I think the ball becomes the target way too often. And you know, just randomly hitting balls in the driving range. You know, if I'm doing that, then I'm just trying to find some feel. But the minute I get serious, and if I'm going to go out and play, then I'm focused on a target. I'm focused on working the ball both directions. I'm trying to hit different shots. You don't just stand on the golf course like you do on the driving range and just hit from a perfect lie every time. So I work on different things, and I encourage my students to do that. And another thing that I always encourage is learn one thing at a time, okay? So and so what I do is I help them find the one thing that's going to do the most, have the most benefit in their learning process as we develop their model. More advanced golfers will come to you, and it's pretty easy to find one thing to work on that really makes a difference. And most of the time, it's redefining impact and redefining how the tool works and giving them one or two things to work on. But typically, in a beginner, it's grip, setup, and balanced motion. And when they're comfortable with that, then you can begin to go to different things. You can talk about playing and things. But the real thing is to start at impact, to give them an understanding of how the club works and where the low point in the golf swing is, and that it's critical that weight transfer be a part of this golf swing. And I think those things are very easy to teach when it comes to just teaching an entire motion. When it comes to trying to teach someone how to hit a golf ball, it breaks down. So the one thing that fixes the most is basically the first thing, you know. And once you get that done, once you've learned and accomplished that, whether it's your grip, your setup, your balanced motion, or some concept we're working on in the golf swing, weight transfer, or getting the club on plane, or elbows down, arms in front. But once you get that down, then you can move on to the next thing. If you're trying to do two or three things at once, it's difficult to learn. And I think too much emphasis is put on what's going on in the backswing and not enough on how to finish in balance. And so I kind of flip the switch on a lot of people, particularly the guys that come to me and say, well, I'm working on this. I feel like the club's behind me. Da-da. Well, you know, how about if you just finish facing the target? And, you know, if the club is behind you, that's going to be a struggle. If you're lifting and you're using your arms to move your body, those things are going to throw you out of balance. And so by just working on mastering a balanced finish position, a lot of the things that you're fighting in your golf swing will go away. So another thing I ask them to do is just claim your own swing, okay? You know, it's each of us has a unique golf swing. And, you know, just claim it, make it your own, and work on one thing at a time. And stay focused on what you're working on. It's hard not to listen to your buddies or listen to the golf channel. There's so much information out there. Try to stay focused on what you're working on until you're comfortable that you've accomplished that before you start jumping in and trying different things. And be your own judge, you know. Judge your progress on your own. I mean, as a coach, I'm going to let you know I see improvement. I'll show you. You know, I use video before and down the line to show you really are improving, but let's work on this. We still got a little bit more to go here. And I think that's a very constructive use of video. I think video can be overused. And believe me, when you stop a golf swing motion, as a teacher, I'm looking to see where you are in that motion. As a student, you may think, well, that's not a good position. Well, geez, I mean, there are no positions in a motion. I'd like to reiterate that. There's only alignments in a golf swing. And so what we want to do is get good alignments and good balance and good motion. And then we can look at video and just to see, well, is it getting better or are we still in the same place? And that's the way I use it. And be patient. Do the work. Take the time. Don't give up. It's so easy to get frustrated and give up, and just don't beat yourself up. And then the final thing I would say is play golf separately. Separate the practice and the golf, because you don't play golf on the driving range. And so I think I've mentioned Mike Hebron's book again, that play to learn. I mean, play golf to learn golf. And you've got to play golf to learn the game. And Because when you're on the golf course, you're going to get the funny lies. You're going to get the ball in the rough, and you're going to get downhill and uphill, and you're gonna have to deal with bunkers, and you're gonna need to learn. You learn to play the game on the golf course. You can work on your motion and your balance and your fundamentals away from the golf course. But once you get on the golf course, man, you need to target. You need to pick your target. You need to see where you want the ball to go and just let it flow. Let it go. Don't overanalyze your swing. Once you develop a model, you work on that. But just be true to it and go out on the golf course, see the shot, feel the shot. And as you're working on your golf swing, you will develop a balanced motion. Your results will be so much better. And, I just thought I'd share those concepts with you. Today's going to be just a short show. But my students ask me, they ask me to recommend books from time to time. And there's some great books out there. And I'm an avid, when I was beginning to learn how to teach in the early 80s, I started reading everything. And of course, I read, in the early days, I read Jack Nicklaus's book, Golf My Way, and Ben Hogan's book, The Five Lessons, The Modern Fundamentals of the Game. I read Tommy Armour's book, which I thought was a great book, How to Play Your Best Golf. And I gleaned little things like Tommy used to talk about footwork and how all the great players had footwork. He also mentioned in 1953 when he wrote the book, the one thing you can buy to create a better game is properly fit golf clubs. This is 1953, people. So if Tommy Armour was profound enough and knowledgeable enough to understand, I mean, he literally said, I see so many of my students come to me with equipment that they can't swing and they can't play with it. And it's just, the one thing you can do is buy a better game. It's the only thing you can buy to help your game. Everything else you got to dig out of the dirt. So, and obviously, being a master club fitter and a Henry Griffiths regional trainer, I've worked and helped so many people with their equipment. And it's not a complicated process, people. Before TrackMan and Launch Monitor and Video, we did everything with our eyes and our ears. I mean, we could hear and we could tell, but we had the options. We had the shaft flexes and the head designs and the lengths that and the lie angles that necessary to take care of everyone. And so it was a fascinating process to kind of be in that pioneering, developing era of club fitting back in the mid to late 80s into the early 90s. And now, there's this concept of get fit, okay? Well, the key is you need to have the options necessary to fit you. I mean, there are many people that will kind of fall into a category that off-the-shelf stuff can be close. But in reality, the big OEMs, they're fitting the masses. And just to go in and you need to have someone who understands motion and balance and how equipment affects that, because if you just got someone in there and he's not checking, if they're not putting a lie board down and checking the lie angles as you swing, and they're not, they're looking at launch monitors and they see your club head speeds at 80 miles an hour, they're going to go to a certain place. That's all they have. They've got one or two options for you. They've got regular or senior, and they've got graphite and steel. And those are their options. Well, for instance, in the Henry Griffiths fitting, he said, we have 3,000 options in there. We have all different lengths. We have frequencies. And our shafts are marked with frequencies, not flexes, okay? We have frequencies, and we know how to apply all these different concepts. I mean, we have heavy and light shafts that have identical frequencies in many cases, so that sometimes heavy is better for certain golfers and light is better for other golfers. And unfortunately for women, most of your options are graphite, and that's not necessarily your best option. So, it's functional and it's better, but it's not necessarily the right thing for you. So always make sure you get the option to, and find a very good fitter. And there's many of them out there. And a lot of my guests who come on, we've all been involved and we've all been doing this for so long. So today, as far as training aids, there are a lot of them out there. I utilize a lot of them that particularly ones that you swing that allow you to kind of free up and swing an entire motion. I think, the Medica's equipment has value for certain people. The Orange Whip, obviously, the Speed Stick, all these things are valuable. And I like the Speed Stick. I really think that if you understand where to pop it and where to it's really going to help. The Speed Whoosh was another one that was really good. And there's so many great things. I mean, I work with balance. I work with balance balls, and I work, you know, with the balance discs and to help work with balance. And it really creates a tremendous productive session when you can get someone and there's the orange peel, which is a balance board. There's so many great things out there. Just check with your coach. You know, if you know what you're working on and what your weaknesses are, there's training aids that can help that. And so just to mention a few, but to be honest with you, it really should be something you work out with your coach. I have impact bags. I have all kinds of training aids, and I use them specifically to help a certain issue that my student's having. And so there's some. The golfing machine has created some very interesting training aids, and their focus is really on impact, and I believe it's a tremendous way to teach a beginner to start them from impact and build the swing up from there. So, you know, there's so many different options, but you have to kind of figure out what your student's looking for. But as far as books, and I'd like to share a few with you, and if you have any questions later, call in, and I'm hoping that I can start posting blogs. And so I'll put a list of books up there, and I think that these in particular are very good. So again, I mentioned Chuck Hogan's book. It's called 5 Days to Golfing Excellency, and it's a book that takes you away from the swing and puts you into play mode and playing the game and how to take it from the driving range to the golf course. And it's an amazing book. It really helped me become a better golfer, not a better golf swinger, but a better golfer. And he also wrote another book, the first one I ever read from Chuck, and then of course when I met him, I had already read Learning Golf, and Chuck, it's a very, very great book for breaking down and giving you a program to get better with. And he starts with setup and goes through the balls, the clubs, and every chapter discusses a different thing, and he challenges you in each chapter to graduate from the chapter, to do the work and graduate. And this is where I got the concept of creating a contract with my students that it creates accountability. So it's a great book, The 5 Days of Golfing Excellency, and his book on Learning Golf, two great books, if you're one for playing and one for learning the swing. And so great combination. Chuck, you know, is retired now, but in the late 80s, early 90s, he was out there working with a lot of the pros. And then Michael Hebron has a book. Obviously, Michael is very well. I mean, he's written several books, many, all of which I've read. But he's gone on to study how the mind and the brain and learning techniques. And but the first book that I would recommend from him is one he wrote for, I believe it was his master's thesis, PGA master professional thesis, and it's called See and Feel the Inside Move the Outside. Now, not only does this give you a visual, and it's got great pictures, and it gives you a visual model to kind of mold your concept of your swing around, but it also he also talks about learning in it, and it's a phenomenal book. And then I think the second book that Michael, that all golfers should read, that Michael's written, is Play Golf to Learn Golf. And those two books are good reads, and you get value from it. So again, Chuck has a book on learning golf, and then he has a book on playing the game. And obviously Michael has a great book on learning and visual, just some great pictures in there that I've used. I mean, his concept of the golf swing's only inches long, the backswing's only inches long, was something that blew me away back in the 80s when I first read it, but some great stuff. But then of course I'll follow that up with his Play Golf to Learn Golf, because I think you have to realize that playing the game and learning the game and learning to golf swing are two separate things. So golf's, you know, one of the quotes in his book was that Michael has that I quote with my students a lot is, golf is a game to be played, not a subject to learn. So when you get on the golf course and you're thinking about the golf swing, you're not playing golf, you're playing golf swing. So I always ask my students when they have a bad round, were you playing golf or were you playing golf swing? And inevitably, they always say, you know what? I was thinking about my golf swing. And I said, well, there you go. You know, in many cases, just by switching gears and thinking, I'm just going to play. I'm going to see the shot. I'm going to I want the ball to land here. And just to start playing the game, frees people up and their balance gets better and their ball striking gets better. So the other book I want to talk on learning is Percy Boomer's book called On Learning Golf. It's a classic. I read this book and I was blown away at how, you know, I realized this book was written back in the 30s, I believe. And I'm reading books, contemporary books, and I'm going back and I'm reading this book that Percy wrote and that time frame decades ago. And I began to realize there's not a lot of new information out there. I mean, he talked about the triangle and you know, just that it's just amazing. And if you haven't heard me talk about the triangle, it's just the, when you set up, you create a triangle with your arms in the golf club. Actually, it could be called a Y. And I believe if you can just swing your arms and maintain the triangle throughout your golf swing, you're going to play pretty good golf. And I think you'll find that most instructors would agree with that. But Percy started talking about it way back. And so, and I know Michael, you know, in Michael Hebron's book, you see him visually show you how the triangle is maintained throughout the golf swing. And you know, Jimmy Ballard was huge on that. And so it's not a new concept, but it's a concept that has evolved over time. And I believe it's such a simple way to kind of to help someone understand how to let the body swing the arms, or how to create a swinging motion in the golf club with the arms by creating that type of motion. So, and as far as instructional books, obviously a lot of you may recognize some of these, but I think, you know, Hogan's Five Lessons, the Modern Fundamentals, is a great book. I think one of the most, one of the best books I ever read was George Knudsen's book, The Natural Golf Swing. And George Knudsen was, you know, Jack Nicklaus said he had the million-dollar swing. I mean, he tells a story about how he learned the game and how he watched all the greats. And by watching them, he imitated them, and he began to understand and develop his concept of the golf swing. And he was obviously, I was fortunate enough to get a copy of his video that he shot in Bermuda years ago. And I just sometimes sit and watch him swing. It is so balanced and so simple. And it's just, his concept was, you know, you rotate to load and you transfer your weight to the finish and you don't do anything with the hands and arms. It simplified my concept of the golf swing back in a time when I was way too mechanical to say the least. And of course, there's Jack Nicklaus's book, two of his books that I really recommend: Golf My Way and The Full Swing by Jack Nicklaus. And I really like the Venturi analysis because it's a book of pictures of all the great players. And by looking at those pictures and analyzing it, gave me it in. To see these great golfers in sequence pictures was just amazing for me. And there's another book that I don't know that gets a lot of mention, and that's The Search for the Perfect Golf Swing. It was written by two guys, A. Cochran and John Stobes, I believe. And it was a great book because there's a lot of visual references and of the circular motion, and it gave me, all these things helped me create my model of what I thought the golf swing was supposed to be. And that model I've carried with me, and I've tweaked it and expanded it and changed it over time. And that's what this whole journey in golf is about. So the endless journey of golf is the endless search for perfection, which will never be accomplished in this game. And yet it's what drives us forward. So, you know, my endless journey of golf has been going on for 50 years. And it's something that'll go on until the day I die. And I'm always searching out and tweaking my model. But I'm always evaluating it based on what I know is my best balanced motion. And anything I do that interferes with my balance is something I have to question. And anything I do that enhances it is something that I will give some effort to. So just wanted to share these thoughts with you. My, you know, my students have taught me so many things about the golf swing, and just to be able to get to a point with my students where the light bulb goes off and they began to understand their swing and understand the key elements that they need to work on is so gratifying. And it's been a long journey for me, and I learn every day. And it, you know, I so enjoy working with beginners and working with amateurs that have reached a point where they're reaching out for help. And at that point, there's a purpose behind it. And at that point, if they're willing to commit and create a contract with themselves to go out and change and do the work, then amazing things can happen. And it's so rewarding to get an email or a Facebook post or a text message from one of my students saying, "Hey, I just had my best round ever." And you know, you get the other ones too. And, you know, my comment is, "Well, were you playing golf swing or were you playing golf?" And 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, "Crap, I was playing golf swing and not golf." And I'm guilty of it too. You know, I'm working on something this last couple weeks that and it's really, really getting solid and impact again. And yet I'm thinking about it a little too much on the golf course. And I fire away and all of a sudden I look up and the ball's going way off direction and solid, and it's pure, but it's not going at my target because I was way too concerned with what I was doing in the backswing or what I was trying to accomplish through the ball. And by the way, it's always through the ball, not at the ball. And wasn't consciously focused on the shot and the target that I was trying to hit the ball to. And it's so easy to slip as a teacher to slip into mechanics and really create all sorts of problems. So that being said, today I just wanted to I want to thank all my guests, and I hope that some of the things I share with you will help you on your journey of golf. And until next time, I know I'm going to have some more guests on. I'm working out some at this moment, but until the next time, fairways and greens, and this is your Vegas golf coach signing out. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.